Tochen, but we're more specifically focused on the Tochen that is very shaykh and relevant to the sugya of the Dorot Ekspresin Mashiach, which is, if you had a notice, us. The first stage of the Tochen is the Hachana, that builds the trust relationship. That's the father and the very young son. And as the son gets older and older, the father is able to squeeze more out of the son because there is a trust relationship that's been developed through the stages of adolescence. So I think we're up to Kuf Pei Aleph. Riva Yisrim B'do Ekisir Mashiach, right? Riva Yisrim B'do Ekisir Mashiach, there's going to be an increase of Yisrim in the generation of Ekisir Mashiach. Masiv Zeh Shulib Yisrim Achman Etzlan, Hum Iktsnai Agula. It's a tnai in the gula that there's going to be an increase of Yisrim Achman Etzlan. Gomosh Amirah Ma'alau, Shetchilas Hatzniche Hila'ache Shlap Rikvayim Hamuchlef. When does a tree start sprouting up? Is after the total disintegration of the seed. As long as the seed is a seed, it can't become a tree. It can only become a tree when the seed disappears and disintegrates and whatever, yeah? What's the word? Biodegrades or whatever, yeah? Decomposes. Smichas agula bo mitoich harikvoin hamuchlat shal kol ha'olam shekol ha'olam Mashiach. The sprouting of the gula comes through the decomposition, the disintegration total of the world before Mashiach comes. Oysus simonim shemosu lanu chazor aldo ikrisu de Mashiach. Enu simonim greater. Those simonim, the 15 simonim in the Mishnah and all the other simonim that are shoreshed in the, that Chazal gave us, that will be the simonim of the door ikrisu de Mashiach, are not just simonim. Hem mitznai agula. They are tznaiim that need to be before the gula can happen. כאשר כל המערכת, הבטוחניות, הכלכליות, החברתיות, המסורית, יהרוסת. The entire system of security and of business and what's חברתיותי, ומסריות,
the
way of the world. When the entire system, the marechet of the world, totally disintegrates and falls apart, then the gula can sprout. Kasher kol ha-sheker yitmoitet lagamre. When all the shek in the world is completely silenced, misham yinboit yitzmach oir shal Mashiach. From there will come the oir of Mashiach.
There's a fascinating shir that Rav Mordechai Miller gave. I'm trying to have to dredge it out. I mean, when you find the shir, an unbelievable shir. It says that before a nation can fall, the Tsar of the nation falls first. Yeah, before Rome can disappear, the Tsar of Rome has to get first. The Tsar, the Malach, the Tsar, the prince of that. Each nation has a spiritual energy called the Tsar, whatever that is, an angel, whatever it is, a Malach. And before the nation can fall, the Malach has to fall. So the Mordechai Miller, in his usual very clear way, explained that the power of a nation is the spirit of the nation, is the principles and foundations upon which that nation is built. So before a nation can disappear, the fundamental principles upon which that nation is built has to disappear. Okay? In order for communism to disappear, the principles and the fundamentals and the ruach of what that was built on had to disappear. In order for Rome to die and disappear, the fundamental principles and ruach of what Rome represents, Western culture, Western civilization, those things have to go away. Then the nation just kind of fizzles out. You can't get a nation that's riding high on its spiritual principles to disappear. Yeah, until the principle that is built on disappear. If you understand that principle and you have a look at the world, you'll see the very fascinating thing going on out there today. The Tsar, you know, the Tsar of, I don't want to look at it for yourself, you know, spoil the fun for you. Have a good look at the world, yeah? Like the Maharal said, you can learn Torah by looking at the world. Just have a look at the world, and you'll see there's a lot of changes taking place in the world of the Tsar, which means both nations are in serious trouble. Which has to be, because it all has to come to an end in order for Yaakov to exist. Where does Yaakov start? Esav's heel. That's the end of Esav. The end of the system, where is Yaakov? He's dripping onto Esav's heel. The heel represents the end of the system. Ikhtus in a Mashiach, that means the footsteps of Mashiach. And you can hear the footsteps. Tack, he's getting closer. It means the heel. It means the bottom of the system. We're getting to the end of this system, and from there we'll start Mashiach. That's what's going on at the moment. So if you look around, you'll see that a lot of myth is taking place. Just to understand, this is a very beautiful insight. This we find this a very useful tool. Yonasi b'chaga ha'selah. There's a doubt in the cleft of a rock. Nema. He may take from Eretz Mitzrayim, Aron, and Niflos. Like in the days when he went to Mitzrayim, I will show you wonders. Matzvenu kiyoyim, dorim ele matzah shaklai yisrael b'sha sh'omdu rege echad lifnei ha'gula, sefis asfat yam suf. Where are the Jewish people today, klopi maisa avoy sin and levonim, standing mamash on the yam suf, waiting for the final gula, okay, and surrounded on every side, there is no way out of this problem. If you can come to me and show me that there's a way out of the matzah we're in, so I'm going to get out of this mess. How are the Jews going to get out of the mess with you? The sea's in front of you. You're surrounded all over. But people are trying to kill you. Yeah? Who are you going to rely on? The army. Baruch Hashem, there was a Lebanon war. Yeah? That killed that about Azara. Who are you going to rely on? Who are you going to rely on? Where are you going to turn? How are you going to stop the atom bombs? How are you going to stop 100 million? How are you going to stop 1.5 billion people walking into this country when they decide that that's what they want to do? They don't have to fire any bullets. They can just walk in here. How are you going to stop it? So you'll kill 100 million. Fine. You know what 1.5 billion looks like after you've killed a million? Or 100 million? Nothing. You haven't even scratched the surface. How many bullets have we got? I'm serious. And not just here. You've been out to North America lately? The terror that people are living in because they see that their lives are not so secure anymore? Yeah? What percentage of the cop force in America is today Muslim? My guess is it's kind of interesting statistics if you would find out what that statistic is. So where are you relying on? Where's the safety? So that's where Klal Yisrael is. Mamash Yam Suf. Mamash, the moment before Yam Suf, which is where Klal Yisrael was. That moment of Kriyas Yam Suf was the most dangerous moment Klal Yisrael's ever been in. One is facing instant death. They don't know how to swim, so they're going into the water and drowning, or they're going right and left and getting chowed by the desert, or behind them is a victim who just threw only jab to wipe them out. No way out. Chazal bears the pasuk Yonasu b'chaga ha'selah b'seis ha'madrega. The pasuk in Shir HaShirim, in the second paragraph of Shir HaShirim, Chazal explained the following pasuk like this: Yonasu b'chaga ha'selah b'seis ha'madrega. The dove, so shall is compared to a dove in the cleft of a rock, in the hidden cleft in the rock, in the cleft of the rock, whatever. Yes. Lama Yisrael Dain Boisashah, what does Yisrael look like at that moment? Leyena Shabochim is now next. You have a little dove, and there's an eagle chasing him. Yeah. So what does he do? He wants to get in, he wants to hide away from the eagle, because he's much smaller, so he can duck into a little hole in the rock. Yeah? So what does he do? He goes into a little cleft in the rock. Eagle can't get him, and what happens? There's a little snake sitting there waiting to gobble him up. Because snakes and eagles have one thing in common. They both like dog sushi. Yeah? Raw dove. So what does he do? You can't stand the rock with a snake. So you jump out. So what happens? There's an eagle waiting to gobble you up. That's the literal, you know, stuck between a rock and a hard place. Big shit, take her and make her a person. Kaha Yisrael. Hayam Hulech Vasaleh. The seas in front of them and the hated ones are behind them. Midrash says that they were surrounded on all four sides, well, two sides, by wild beasts of the desert that would gobble them up. The same as with John Yana, who's got nowhere to put his foot down, and it's sort of stuck there treading water. Midair, well, doves don't tread water, but don't know it. Ach, confirm nechbotos, benekika, sloim, tachol, lemaisim, atvene, kiyem, ukof, and anu, mibaitim, mechutz. That's our matzav today, inside and outside, completely surrounded and overwhelmed and nowhere to hide. And I mean the ruchnis as well, we'll see. we're surrounded by enough people who don't want us around anymore. And problems within, internal problems in the microcosm, in the macrocosm, Klal Yisrael is suffering terribly. What's bothering the average Jew today? Hamasa, Shalom Bayis, and Chinuch. You want to become a wealthy Magid Shia? Prepare a whole bunch of shirim on Shalom Bayis, Panosa, and Chinuch, and go out there and give shirim. The only people come to shul because of no subject. Yeah? That's all they want. When you get up in the morning, you've got to daven. What's really on the hook? What's bothering the average guy today? Panosa, Shalom Bayis, and Chinuch. Hopefully he's also doubting that you're not what he's learning. Maybe that kind of gets a, you know, sort of creeps in number four. That's what's driving us today. Health, Rahmanat's love, Shidduchim, whatever. There's nothing today that isn't a serious clear slump of life. Kulam Linsei, the Melchizedek. What's Melchizedek? Sad. Get the picture. This is of course Boku design situation at the moment. The Ma'aseh I wrote to me, Tana Hashem, is for Shad Gorelizu. So then the question is, what does she want from me? You put me in an impossible situation. I have no hope on any of my job description things that I'm supposed to be dealing with. And none of them are going properly. They're a mess. Everything's a mess. What do you want from me? Kishmiani es kailecho, says the pasuk. Kishmiani es kailecho. Kishmiani es kailecho. Aya your voice is Hashem. Yeah? Kukilo emelanu, hitpolanu, sitzu keshu imi. Daven to me. Make a keshu with me. What's wrong?
Shmiani.
I'm looking for this. Huh? Make your voice heard by me.
Make your voice sound.
Like, make your voice be heard. Because Hashem saying, I want to hear your voice. Very good. Yeah. I was worried for that. Thank you. Your frown was a Rosh Kevanti to your frown. Yeah. That's Yishma, by the way.
Hanad Be'eliezer says that the word Yishma means that Yishma will cause Hashem to hear our voice. Hashmiel is Kalech. Hashem wants to hear our voice. He's not, we're not saying anything. Yishmo Kael, he will cause Hashem to hear our voice. Not because he didn't want Hashem's ears. We're not making enough noise. If he'll come along and get us to make the right noise, and then Hashem will hear our cry. What can we try? The Yishma Hashem is Tzakot. Hashem heard his Tzakot. He said, Moshe, go get him out of there now. The minute we start talking, the minute we realize the bad the matter is, we start screaming, that's where the gula is. That's true. Titzukeshini, ta'aminu betachtivi. Trust me, Hashem says. You have a track record with me. Get in touch with me. I'll think you should kill you at Tema Vudu Mushi. Don't feel yourself like you're hopeless and you're lost. Titoni Yeshua Salah, come straight to me. It's a local call. You don't have to pay extra. Yeah? Use your American line. You've got a Shemayim line, yeah? Al-Tachapsu, Segulas, the Brochas, Mipola, Yeshua, Slimanam. You don't have to look for Segulas and Brochas and whatever. I'm not saying there's a place for Brochas, there's a place for Segulas, but that's not the Ikka message. Hashem's not doing all of this stuff because he insists that he wear red bracelets. That's not what he wants. Now, I'm not saying you should wear red bracelets, I'm not saying they're very useful too. But there's many misfortunes that say that the Beit HaMikdash got taken away from us because of it's becoming a segula. One great Thomas Chacham says, Milaifen to Kaisel. We run to the Kaisel. Who are you davening to? When you go to the Kaisel, you have to be very careful that you're not davening to the Kaisel. The misfortune that discussed, I heard, Yaakov Weinberg once said it, that the Beit HaMikdash has been used as a segula. Hashem said, I want it as a segula. It's supposed to be used to talk to me. It's a tool to get to me. Yeah? You phone your mother, so then you start talking to the telephone, and I ask this, the problem is, you know why you're going to the Kaiser. Relate to Kaiser! Why? What are you going to the Kaiser for? Because you understand that there's Mokum Shechina, and you understand that there you can connect to what. Good!
But you go to the Pesach because the Pesach somehow has some segula. Logic.
Also, not to the Makashish Nevuahs, Neyeladim, autistic.
You don't have to go run around getting Nevuah from autistic children.
Tipara Rakalai. Come straight to me, says the Shem. Shuva Laavichem Shemashamayim, go back to your father in heaven. Kiblis, call out the Alechem, the sins of the Tzimis, right to Yeshali.
A Kabbalah and everything I'm doing to the Tzimis, the Sinchot, yes, the Panosah and the Chinuch and the Shiduchim and the Shalom Bayis and all the problems that you have, they're from me. The Kabbalah and the Simcha, the Kimimis, then you and me can go together. Then we can start working together.
Don't look for...
Yes, you should check your mezuzahs because you're supposed to check your mezuzahs because that's a halacha. Yes, you should go to the kosher because yes, it's a possible place to cover it and we all want the kosher, we judge it. No, not say not. Yes, you should go to Gedolim and ask them 80 and try and find right out and get them to daven for you because they too might be more stairs. If you have a hard time davening, so then pay someone to daven for you. Yeah, all the, and at the end of the day, those are all excuses not to have relations with Hashem. The other man says, his father Rahman passes away. So the Rav calls him in and says, you have to say Kaddish every day. So I said, Kaddish every day? I've got to come to shul every day? I'm a busy man, Rebbe, what am I going to do? He says, it's fine, you can pay someone and they'll say Kaddish for you. I can pay, that's great. Yeah, fine. Pay the guy to say Kaddish for him. Fine, the guy's asked Kaddish, he pays him every day. So that is Kaddish for him. Rebbe calls him in and says, yes, you know, there's a yortzeit coming up soon. Right? So he's a minhag on a yortzeit, he's a pifos. I'm minhag, he's pifos on a yortzeit. Rebbe, I'm a busy man, if I fast, I can't go to work, I go, what am I supposed to do? He says, no, that's fine, don't worry, you can pay someone to fast for you. Ah, I can pay someone to fast for me, that's fantastic. He says, yeah, you pay your ankle 100 bucks, and then you'll fast, then initial Mr. Fast. He says, that's brilliant, thank you so much, yeah. Off he goes, that day he's walking past the restaurant, and there's your ankle sitting and eating, it's a superb meal. It's a chutzpah. I'm paying a lot of fast, and he's sitting and eating in a restaurant, eating a big sugar. So he walks in, he says, Yanko, I don't understand. I'm paying you the pork. What's going on here? He says, don't worry. He says, there's a Sfadi guy. The Sfadi, the Minag, is to eat to sit on the Yorkshire. Yeah? The Sfadi guy who's got a Yorkshire today. He says, I'm eating for him. For you, I'm still fasting. So, you stand here. You haven't got time. You're too busy to deal with Hashem. So pay someone to talk to Hashem, but you're missing the point. You're missing the point of why the service was there in the first place. Yeah? You pay someone to daven for you. Fine. And you should have not saying no. Very Choshev would have told me. He says, we don't believe in our own tefillah, so we don't daven. So find someone who knows how to daven, find an avreich who's sitting and studying, who knows how to daven, and pay him to daven for you. Vanity study. How's it going to help your kesher with Hashem? Probably nothing. But at least your kids, you don't get to daven for your kids, at least your kids' chinuch will get sorted out a little bit. But your kesher with Hashem, you daven. You come to me, Hashem says, I want you. This paragraph here. Minshal Yisrael Yoyna. My Yoyna zu poshetus tzohar ele shchita. My doch this Yoyna sticks out his neck for shchita. Kach Yisrael Shira Shim Rabbi. The Shira Shim Rabbi, that's what it says. The same way as the Yoyna sticks his neck out for shchita. He's happy to give up his life in order to become a Korban. So too Kach Yisrael. Hayoyna Eino mit neget le shchita. The Yoyna is not against shchita. He accepts that that's his tafkid in the world and he's getting elevated and he accepts the shchita ba'avah. The chach anu b'dor hazeh. And so we are in this generation. Alein l'kabel is kol ha'ba alein ba'avah. We have to accept everything that comes upon us ba'avah. We'll mitzvach ba'ashem ki ha'kol ho'u l'shavasteinu. And we have to have imunah and betochen that everything that Hashem thinks is for our good. If you really get this one clear, you should have two very powerful kashas. Yes? No, that's not the kasha. The kasha is, what about tefillin? What about the tochen? What about ishtadlus? Sorry. If I accept those, so then I can go to bed. What do you need me for? Well, I have to be there. There's no room for me in the world. I mean, what am I doing for Esther for every day? I say, boy, need for life. Why? The chuv is the best thing for me. I'm davening for help. Wow, the fact that you're sick is the best thing for you.
I'm going to try to make a status for Banasa. Why? The poverty that you're in, that's cool. That you should be dancing because of that. Yeah? Why am I speaking to them in the hell of the Cheder? The fact that my kid's causing utter havoc and we're having serious problems and whatever, that's the best thing for me. Why should I go for marriage counseling? The fact that my marriage is in a disaster, what are you talking? L'chaim. You understand? If you understand this, you should have some real big cushions. If you don't have cushions, either you haven't understood this, or you've already learned the next two paragraphs, the next two chapters, which is, Ishtadus v'betochen, and Tfilah ha'betel. So if you want to be cushions, let's just wait till we get to the next two chapters. Let's understand what is Ishtadus in the space of this, in the face of this, and what is Tfilah in the face of this betochen.
Well, how do you deal with the thing that you're fault from the past? For example, a father, yeah? The reason why his kids are going to prayer is it's his fault.
Who says?
I'm saying it.
Who says that that's true?
He puts him in a situation.
Who says?
She's like,
if the father made mistakes, the father has to do tshuva. It says, I'll just have the shalom. It says, if Torah comes upon a person, he should be a pastor's mice. He should go check out his mice or whatever. He said, yeah, and do tshuva, now go buy it.
How
do you the cool?
The brother,
the matzah that he was put in the terrible chinuch he got and tak, etc. That's all from Hashem. That's the best thing that could happen to me. He's got to be a botayach. One second. He's got to be a botayach. Then everything that happened to him was what Hashem wanted from him. It's the best thing for him. Yeah? The father that used his bechira and messed up or whatever, he has to do tshuva for that. But there's no kesher between what the father did and what's happening to the child. Kapay the child. The same way as my status in business. I go to work and I buy potatoes and I sell them and I one decides to make a discount and it was a stupid decision because the price of potatoes went up and I traded down, I lost all my money, okay. So the good sugar, bye. But the fact that lost potatoes went up and down, it doesn't do with you.
Let's say father puts the TV in his kitchen. Snack, a laptop. The father's gonna rock for that.
They're gonna mamas put his fingernails out with a pair of flies one day because of that. But clapping the son.
The son
10 years later is Mukut Kal Rahmanu flying in the gutter somewhere. He has to know that that's what he's putting to his Rumba Hashem. Nothing to do with his father. And that was the best thing that could have ever happened to him.
A little kid, 30-40-year-old has a TV, what
can
he do?
Terrible. If you speak to the father, you tell the father you're a murderer. But the bullet that hit the kid, covered the kid has to know that bullet hit him was the best thing that ever came from Hashem. The famous Meiser, Rav Nachi told the Meiser, he once met a quadriplegic. Quadriplegic, somebody who's paralyzed from the neck down. I met one like that as well. I also have stories to tell you about a quadriplegic. Baruch Hashem, today he can at least move a little bit. When I met him, he couldn't move, he couldn't scratch his nose. He couldn't even twitch his nose. But Ramach met this guy. What happened to him? He was walking on campus and there was a demonstration going on, whatever. Somebody shot somebody, whatever, and the bullet went and hit him in the base of his spine. Young Jewish kid walking on campus. And he told Ramach, you know what? The best thing that ever happened to me. Had that bullet not hit me, I would have spent the rest of my life thinking that the way I was living was normal and correct. Because it's happened to me, I've got an awful question. I discovered the truth, I discovered Hashem, and I'm now Shem and Torah and Mitzvahs, and Baruch Hashem, I was playing Olam HaFa because of that bullet. You imagine having spent 90 years of my life and never knowing that there was a God out there? The best thing that happened to me was that bullet. Now, Lord Lane, we should never know any service like that, but he had that Nisoyin and he used it correctly. The best thing that ever happened to that guy was a bullet in his heart. I asked this kid that was lying flat on his back, paralyzed from the neck down. I said, "What keeps you going? Like, how do you? Like, what are you? You're pushing, like, incarcerated in solitary confinement on a bed. You're like nailed to a bed. What keeps you going? Yeah." He said to me, "My children need me."
My children need me. What are you talking about? They need a father. So they have to have a father. What do you mean, what keeps me going? It was like bewildered by the question. Yeah. He's fine. My children need me. Mother used to bring the kids there every day. Used to learn with them. The first time I ever saw what a neshama looks like without a guf. The guf is irrelevant in a situation like this. He's a pure neshama. I took Shlomo Karpus with me to go meet him as well. Shlomo told me he was the biggest musician he's ever had. And I first went to meet this guy. When I first went to meet this guy, he was in hospital in Victoria. In a car accident. Gad Tzedek. He got married to a wonderful Shum girl. And he had a car accident, paralyzed from the neck down. Fochrev drives in a wheelchair, can read his hands. He can write, he learns. Whenever I went out in South Africa, I go visit him, whatever. He's sitting learning. But he'll tell you as well. He hasn't got the slightest complaint against the first Balkan. I go, you asked him. I said, aren't you angry with Hashem? He said, what are you talking about? Angry with Hashem? What are you talking about? My children need me, he says. I've those words ringing in my head, you can't imagine. My children need me. Do I feel this? Yeah, I don't know if I feel that so clearly. He was pushing. My mother used to bring the kids to me every day, used to schmooze with them, talk to them.